You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
God, that much of the power of God is not taught, it's caught. You have to be there for it. You have to be positioned within a certain place. It's not something that happens cerebrally, it's something that happens by experience. And the scripture that goes by that, that goes with that, is Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, personally experience God's goodness.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church, Troy Brewer. Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
All right, here we go. Hello, everybody. Blessings of peace on you. Troy Brewer here, and we are not going to be, well, you know what, you're not going to be able to join me from the pulpit at Open Door Church today, but you will be able to join me from Open Door Church. I'm coming to you live from the studios back, you know, hidden deep beneath a trailer park in Johnson County. And I want to welcome you here. Guys, we're also going to be recording a podcast, and you'll be able to, you can listen to this in its entirety by simply going to troybrewer.com and checking out all of our podcasts. And I have the great privilege of getting to meet and getting to know some really cool people on the earth. Sadly, I don't have anybody like that here today, but I do have... I do have Brother Kyle Martin, who is with me today. Brother Kyle, how are you, man?
Man, I'm great. It's great to be here. Great to be here.
I bless you, and I call you blessed in Jesus' name, man. You might need to get a little bit closer to that mic. I'm sorry that I don't have a gooseneck on it.
That's all right.
But man, I want to tell you, the reason that you're here right now is because you're the visionary that is behind Revive Texas. And I before you start telling us your end of it, I want to tell you my end of it. When I first heard that there were people coming in from out of state to Dallas-Fort Worth to pray for revival and to actually get out and beat the streets and to reach people for Jesus and to pray for churches and do all the crazy things that you guys are doing. I want to tell you, man, I was just like, man, that's crazy cool. I mean, I doubt that you're received like that all the time, but I can't receive you with more honor. I can't bless you in a greater way. It has encouraged us in such a great way. You know, obviously we have a tremendous burden for this region, but man, to know that God has given other people a burden for this region, I just want to say thank you.
Amen. Yeah, it's our pleasure. It's the Lord.
It is the Lord. So how does a guy get a vision for something like this?
Yeah.
And what exactly is your vision? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
So I finished up seminary in Dallas, 2006. And in this process, the Lord just really showed me, just start praying for revival for the church. And I'm from a really small town in northern Indiana. And so when he asks you to do that in a large city, it can be intimidating.
Sure.
And so I just walked the streets for 6 days. I prayed and I fasted, and I really sought the Lord on pursuing revival. I think a lot of times people think revival, I don't know, from what I've seen, is that a lot of times they think it has to go for the community. Revival is to the church first.
Come on.
If the church doesn't embrace who they are in Christ, you can forget everything else. And so in this context, man, we just started bringing... for 40 days, the Lord gave me a piece of land near downtown Dallas for free and just said, you can have this as long as you want. And we gathered people together for 40 days, and it sounds good. We prayed well. We worshiped well. But when we were all said and done, the unity part was great, but it didn't seem like we changed anything. And I know I was radically changed, and I know there was individual lives, but to me, a move of God should impact the marketplace. It should impact the education system. It should impact. So like, We need to stop faking and pretending like, oh, we had revival, when the reality is that nothing happened.
Right.
And so for me, that started this long 10-year journey of how do we really intentionally see change in our culture, and what does that look like scripturally?
Okay. So by the way, when this is over with, you and I have got together, and we're going to have to carry out this conversation because there's you're sending off all of my bottle rockets right now. They're all going off. And I have what I call the gift of realness, okay? And I'm all about, hey, let's be real. Are we making an impact? Are we not making an impact? Are we going after it and we're not being successful, but we're still bearing fruit? Because sometimes you're not successful, but you're still bearing fruit. And sometimes you're successful and you're not bearing fruit, and I'm for being real about all that.
Yeah.
So when you say that you're going after a revival. What does that mean for you? What is God's heart for revival, and what do you think is coming up?
Well, I mean, I think you could look at the First Awakening, Second Great Awakening. You study the Welsh revivals, but then even when you study just the scriptures in the book of Acts, you're always going to see numbers are being added daily. That's one of the common themes. I think we always do in revival, we always go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I have nothing wrong with that. I do believe when you humble yourself, I do believe that God's going to bring about this healing.
Of course.
But the weirdness is that we just don't want to do the New Testament component. We don't want to do the Great Commission. And so, like, to me, what we've been processing and praying through and pursuing actively is how do you blend those worlds together? And the hard part is in the church culture, in the American society, honestly, is that we have this attractional model. We have this model of, I hope that they'll come to me.
Yes.
But the reality is that Jesus did the complete opposite.
That's right.
And so for us, we're learning that. We're learning how do you, because the role of time revive for us is to equip the saints. It's the Ephesians 4, equip the saints so that we can do the work of the ministry. And that, to me, it's kind of that reality of, but are we really willing to get messy to do the work right where we're at? And so I love this process of, we've traveled over the United States, literally, just by being invited. We've just learned something new in every city to get to this point today.
Yay. Yay. Okay. All right, listen, I only have about a minute and a half in this first segment, but I want to just, before we go any further, I know that there's people going to be like, what? Okay, what all are you guys doing? And I only have about a minute and a half.
Sure.
What are you guys doing right now?
So specifically, we're doing what's called Revive Texas. We're partnering with over 351 churches. And
wow.
What that looks like is that for 50 days from Easter to Pentecost, we are equipping folks in the mornings and in the afternoons. We've mapped out literally all of Dallas-Fort Worth into 10 major regions. We're in Burleson. We're in the pink region.
Yeah, which, what the heck?
Sorry, it's all the colors we had left. You
man.
Got pink. You know, you're comfortable with yourself. So so we have 10 regions. And that, I mean, can you imagine that this is happening 10 different times for 50 days straight?
Hallelujah.
And then in the evenings, we have an evening service. But the cool part about the evening service is, and the reason that we're asking for the church to actually come, is that we actually do an altar call for disciple makers, and we ask them to leave the service. Because the people that we met during the day, we need to pair them up.
Yes.
Every single day, because Scripture
yes.
says, he didn't say go and make converts, he said go and make disciples. And so Revive Texas is a 50-day training ground for a lifestyle for you and I to walk it out with Jesus.
How do people look you guys up? How do people find out about Revive Texas?
Yeah, just go to revivetx.org, revivetx.org. You'll find schedules, you'll find the information, you'll see videos, and you'll see what the Lord is doing within the 50 days.
Okay, and what is the name of your actual ministry?
It's called Time to Revive.
Time to Revive. Listen, guys, I just have about 20 seconds left before we take a very short break. I'm in here with Brother Kyle, and he's with Time to Revive Ministries. He's a visionary that's literally taken on hell with the water pistol and trying to reach region after region after region for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get back, we're going to have testimonies, we're going to get into details, and I'll be right back with you in 31 seconds.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
Hello, everybody. I'm back here. Thanks so much for paying attention. And by the way, that's Steve Ashley doing that cool radio voice. Hi, you're listening to. I love that, brother. He's awesome. I'm in the studio right now. And you guys are welcome back to join me with Brother Kyle Martin. Kyle Martin is a part of a ministry that's called Time to Revive, and it right now it's Revive Texas. You guys have also done several other states. What other states have you done besides Revive Texas?
It started off in Dallas, and then we jumped to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Then
wow.
Then we got invited into New Age Capital, Sedona, Arizona.
Wow.
Then we got invited into the hood, Flint, Michigan. We spent a year into Flint, which was at the time murder capital of America. From Flint, we got invited into Billy Graham's backyard in Asheville, North Carolina. The Seattle Times invited us to Seattle, Washington. From there, we went to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, small little farming rural country. And then the Lord just kept taking us from place to place.
But I don't know, it kind of sounds like an oxymoron. Revive Devil's Lake.
They totally need the Lord, man.
So.
Let me tell you. But I mean, then, you know, we were in...
I don't even know how you pray that prayer.
We were in suburbs of San Fran. We got invited into Columbia, South Carolina. We're in a really tough part of Tupelo, Mississippi, the Twin Cities. Yeah, the most extreme favor that we saw ever in 10 years was in Indiana. An Amish guy actually invited us to northern Indiana and just said, man, I'm praying for a revival.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you the reason why you're sitting here, right here, is because in my 22-year history of pastoring a church and in my 31-year history of being in full-time ministry, I have never in my life prayed for revival until this year. Mm-hmm. I have not been a revival guy. And I know that probably makes you ill, you being such a revival guy. I've just been a huge outreach fanatic. I'm an outreach fanatic. I mean, we love getting out and beating the streets. We love feeding people and clothing people and helping people and loving people. And then, of course, the past 22 years, I've been a huge church builder as well. But revival just has never been huge on my – it's never been on my front burner because my concept of revival has been more event-based. And I'm like, I don't want to be a part of an event-based revival.
That's right.
But recently, people have literally been coming from all over the United States to prophesy a word here, and it's this word, tsunami. It's like, God sent me here to tell you this. There's a revival coming, and you play a very key part in it. So at the beginning of this year, I started praying about that, and then God started connecting me with all these revivals. I actually got to meet Reinhard Bonnke here just a few weeks ago, and I was like a little girl. I was like, I didn't even say anything intelligent to him at all because I totally blew it, you know. But nonetheless, I did get to get near him. But you're here in such a strategic time. And how, as I know that there's so many pastors that are listening right now, how would you tell me, Troy, this is how you need to prepare and this is how you need to be engaged? What is the responsibility of church leadership in engaging in the coming revival?
But I think the reality is you have to be real, because statistically across DFW, it's not working. It's not working. And what I mean by that is that we have, in the American church, 3% of the American church is actually growing because of new believers across the board. Now, there are pockets that it's changing, but when Christ said the harvest is plentiful, you really don't need a church growth book. He just said, be a laborer and go out.
That's what he said.
And so it's weird to me how, you know, we might be struggling with something in our church. The reality is he's already given us the outlet. And so for me, it's hard to convince somebody to what Jesus already said. The hardest three things in any American church, especially in DFW, is outreach, discipleship, and prayer. And those three things are our heartbeat. And so our prayer is, Lord, align us with people who are like-minded that already have this desire. Line it up with so that when we can start putting together, because when there's a spirit of unity, I actually believe the community will actually see that the Father sent the Son.
Absolutely.
And so you see these things. And so for me, for a church to say, hey, should I or should I not? If you view Revive Texas as an event, it doesn't work.
That's right.
If you view this as a program, it doesn't work.
That's right.
But if you view this as, oh, these guys want to walk alongside the local church, they want to help us, encourage us to get our people to really understand we can impact right where we're at. I mean, that's the impact that we're seeing. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, in the light purple region, there's this guy who owns 30 Taco Bells. Okay. He realized he actually has the ability to impact that community for the gospel.
Come on.
And so in the next 50 days, we get to go into all 30 Taco Bells and to pray with customers,
Hallelujah.
Pray with employees, and share the gospel.
Yes.
But our mindset in America is we can't do that.
Why? Why?
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It's like, well, because I don't have, you know, I don't have the board's approval, or I don't have an amen corner.
That's right.
Or I don't have somebody saying, and thou art now recognized. You don't have any of that stuff. What you have to have is a passion. You have to have a passion for Jesus, and you have to have a passion for the people that Jesus loves.
Okay, so let me push a button.
All right.
So the button is that what we do is we say, the pastor, you got to do it. And so the American church says, you be all of those things. And what we've done is we've skewed really what Scripture talks about is the church.
That's right.
And so now it's kind of like going back to the new wineskin. It's going back to how he really designed the body of Christ. And our prayer is that when revival begins to actually unfold, it's everyday believers embracing the resurrected power inside of them.
Hallelujah.
And so this Taco Bell owner, praise the Lord, 6 smoothie kings. I mean, to me, this is what I want to be a part of.
Oh, you bet.
You know,
no,
I want to be a part of something where it's everyday life. Every day, right where I'm at, and it's working. The fruit is ridiculous.
Well, Jesus is real. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the church that isn't real. Well, I'll tell you what is real. Jesus is real.
That's
Jesus
right.
is resurrected from the dead. Jesus is life, and he's life everlasting, and he's here right now. And whenever we present the reality of Jesus, what's real is fruit is born out of that.
That's right.
You know, I mean, and again, it's not hard. It's not, you just have to have a huge value for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, I'm in here, and we only have less than a minute left until the next segment. And I'm in here with my good friend, Brother Kyle Martin. And Kyle Martin is part of something called Revive Texas, and how do people contact you? How do they find out about bringing you to their area? What is that?
So you can go to revivetx.org. You can check out our schedules. Every night we're live on the radio on a country radio station, a secular country radio station.
What is it?
Area. It's 95.3, The Range.
Oh, yeah, The Ranch, man. The Ranch. Not The Range, man.
No, it's The Range.
Is it? It's The Range?
It's The Range, yeah.
Okay, right on.
It's The Range.
Forgive
and so, but I mean, just practical things like that, you can listen in, but we need you to jump in.
Okay, guys, listen, I will be right back with you right here in the studios at Open Door Church in 31 seconds. Hello, my friends. This is Troy Brewer, and you are listening to one of my recent conferences here at Open Door Church. And for this conference and many others, you can find them as video on demand at troybrewer.tv. Now, let's go back to this conference here at Open Door Church. So I went to A that time, playing my six-string Takamani. Takamani means the pigs are loose in the kitchen. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that. No,
that's not true. Takamani is a Japanese word that means the top of the mountain. And I'm like, that's a prophetic guitar is what that is. Listen, guys, I want to remind everybody that we are actually here in the studios at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And this is part of a podcast that you can listen to at troybrewer.com. And be sure and check all this out, this podcast and many others. But I'm in here today with my good friend, and we're talking about Revive Texas. We're talking about 50 days of going out onto the streets, reaching out to people, discipling people. And what was the third one?
Praying.
It was praying. Okay. Yeah, there is that.
I was like, is that a trick question?
No,
I think so. Okay,
no,
I'm with
there
you.
Wasn't. So I'm just trying to think the three different, you know, attacks that you have is outreach, prayer, and discipleship, which is so basic, but is so left out of so many things, man.
It's ridiculous how simple it is, which is why people are skeptical. They're like, come on, what's the catch? You got to do something else.
That's
we're like,
right.
No, you know, in fact, some guy asked me on live radio, he's like, you have a minute left. It was the worst question ever. He goes, what's your theology?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Holy Spirit, I need an answer. And I just said, it's the gospel.
Come on.
I go, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I think for us, Revive Texas, it's going back to the basics of who Christ is in our life.
Well, okay. If somebody asked me, Troy, what is your theology? I'd say, well, it's a moving target because my theology is Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. And that's what you meant when you said it's the gospel.
Absolutely.
And there's stuff I believe about Jesus right now that I didn't believe a year ago. Hmm. And as I get closer and closer and closer to him, I walk in this constant sense of wonder where my mind is continually being blown. Hmm. So what kind of mind-blowing stuff have you seen happen out there? You know, you're out there, you know, the miracles happen in the context of serving. I mean, there's no telling what kind of stuff you guys
see. So in your backyard right here at Babe's Chicken. Okay,
wow.
So Babe's Chicken, they own 9 to 11 restaurants. He's a good friend of mine, good family friend. And they invite us to come in and share with the general managers and employees of the restaurant. So just last Friday, we went in. And it was pretty crazy. Three young folks, waiters and waitresses, came to know the Lord. So tomorrow, we have a 14-foot baptismal truck. Okay, somebody donated a box truck. It's glass all the way around. We got a horse trough on it.
Shut the front door.
And there's water in the horse trough. So actually tomorrow, in your backyard, we're going to baptize at least three people from Babe's Chicken right before they go to work.
That's
so
awesome.
It's like, yes, I'm in, but now I'm going to get wet because I want the robe of righteousness. I want the clothes of Christ.
Yep.
And
come on.
So, you know, to me, it's a restaurant.
Yeah, no, I love it.
That's really tangible.
Well, a place where you go and eat, you know, it's a table.
Why
it's
not?
Fellowship, you know, it's what Jesus invites us all to. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Right.
If anybody hear my voice, I'll come in and eat supper with you.
So every week we're doing that in a different Babe's restaurant.
That's great.
And then it was last week we were invited into Cedar Hill, which remember we got 10 colorful regions. So one of them is the purple region. And there's a football coach, head coach Carlos Lynn. Cedar Hill, they won the state championship 5 years ago.
Wow.
So they're kind of the real deal. And in Texas, you know, football is a real deal.
Yeah.
So he invited us to come on in. He gathered all the freshmen, the JV, the varsity, Texas Tech recruiters were there, TCU recruiters were there, parents were there, refs were there. And he said, come on in and pray and share the gospel. 42 young men came to know the Lord. Half the team came to know the Lord on the field of a public high school. And it was all because a coach said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of who I am in Christ. And I think what we've done is that the church has, we've backed ourselves into a corner. We've become more defensive than on the offensive. And we have nothing to be ashamed of. And when one person took a stance, half of his team came to know the Lord. And so to me, those are miracles. When
that's
people are
no,
going
that's great.
From death to life, and I just like, Lord, we want more of this.
Okay, so look, Let me tell you what you're doing. Let me bring my crazy point of view and my weirdo lens to this. Whenever, and we do this whenever we go out and we're reaching out to people, there's a huge sense of responsibility. And I'm going to tell you what the sense of responsibility is. Traditionally in the Bible Belt, which I call the Bible noose because it just hangs people, it just kills people, right? Now I'll kill you with my King James. All right. So there's that. But traditionally here in the Bible Belt, there's people have gone out and they said, we need to make sure that we're responsible. And what they mean is they're going to hold people responsible for their actions because religion is always about control, always. Mm-hmm. It's about, hello, we're here to control you. That's right. We're here to make you jump through our hoops. We're here to conform you to our image.
Yeah.
We want you to look like us, sound like us. We want your haircut to be like us. And, you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, and you don't go with girls that do. And that's our stamp of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Okay. What the Lord has done is He's seen that in this region. He's raised up radical, crazy people, and He's using us to say, listen, there's a huge sense of responsibility, but it's not upon you. It's on me for me to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sure. I'm here in the name of Jesus, so I need to look like Jesus and act like Jesus since I'm using His name. I have no responsibility on you whatsoever. I'm not here to control you whatsoever. I'm here to give to you. I'm here to demonstrate to you. And in that kind of context of not wanting anything out of those people, but that's freely right. giving, people fall in love with the Lord.
That's right. Yeah, and it just happened just 2 hours before we got here.
What
we go
happened?
To Fort Worth Stockyards.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I took some of our team, because we have hundreds of people that have come from all over the United States. And so we took a team to go look at the Longhorn, to look at the cattle. And, yeah. you know, here they're going to come through at 11:30. Well, it rained, and so it didn't happen. But the Lord set that up so you'd stand under a place where you
That's
wouldn't
right.
get wet.
Yep.
Two young guys, they've both worked here for 4 years. They both started working on the same day. One guy was a believer. The other guy had never read through anything of the scripture. Never heard the gospel. Went through this whole thing. This is a 21-year-old kid in Fort Worth. And the next thing you know, he's saying yes to Jesus. But what was attractive to him, and I really believe this, is that we're not a denomination. We're not a church that's saying, I need you to do this with me. I need
right.
you. There's no catch. It is
right.
truly the freedom of
that's
the
right.
gospel.
That's right.
And this kid was just like, yes, this is what I want. And his prayer, I think we even get caught up in evangelism prayers. Like you
sure,
have to say this exact
no,
thing.
Don't.
He was just like, I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he was just like, that's all I've got. And he knew and I knew exactly what he meant.
Of course.
But we don't have to be so legalistic about saying, well, you didn't get on your knees the right way.
Right.
And I think we've got to give people freedom to follow Christ the way that the Spirit of God is moving in their life.
Jesus never led anybody into the kingdom the same way.
That's right.
He didn't have a form that he went by.
That's
He'd
right.
tell one guy, hey, you need to go sell all that you have. He told
That's
one
right.
guy, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
He told another person, you need to feed me. I need to go to your house.
Yep.
You know. Go and sin no more, he told
sure.
somebody else. You know, so I mean, he would meet people in a personal way, and mm-hmm. since it was personal, it was tailored specifically towards them.
That's right.
It was independent of a form. It was tailored specifically towards them. That's because his heart towards them was real.
I mean, we say one simple phrase, people are people, they're not projects.
Come on.
And
it's
I
good.
Think if we're not careful, the American church tries to manufacture what's worked for somebody else in a different
yeah.
church. The reality is the Spirit of God is showing us how to minister to these people because they're different.
Graham Cook says that the greatest threat to a new move of God is how much stock you put into the last move of God.
Yeah, amen.
And he's so right on in that. He's like, listen, well, a lot of times we miss a new move of God because we're convinced the last way
yeah.
that God moved is the only way he moves. And then we franchise it. And then 40 years later, we're fighting for something
right.
that no longer matters.
That's right. So I have a good friend, a big, large black pastor, and I could say that because I'd say it to his face, right? And he looked at me and he said, Kyle, I've been praying for revival for a long time. He said, the problem is I didn't think it was going to look like this.
Hallelujah.
And he said, but I rejoice in that. And he said, if I got stuck in that mentality,
yep.
he said, we wouldn't have jumped in. And so it really does take humility, which we always say leads to unity, which then you will see hunger. And when hunger's there, revival breaks out.
You not only do you have to not be willing, to not control people, you have to be willing to not control how God moves.
Amen.
And you just have to go, okay, I'm here. Well, listen, brother, we only have about 40 seconds left here. So please tell people how can they contact you? How can they find out about this? How can they... Let me hear about all that.
Yeah, if you're interested in getting involved with Revive Texas, first of all, it's never too late to jump in and follow the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just because you missed the first 2 weeks or the first 3 weeks, that's never an issue with us. And so you can find more information about us on revivetx.org. That's revivetx.org. We have 10 colorful regions, so distance is never an issue anymore. We will be literally in your own backyard if you would just be willing and available to be used by the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. Well, Kyle, it's been a great privilege talking to you. Listen, our music is going to begin here in 3 seconds. Here it comes. Boom, there's the drums. It's really big. And bang. All right. Well, you know what? That means that we got 2 minutes left to tell everybody adios. I want to tell you goodbye, my friend, and I bless you. I seriously bless you in the name of Jesus. Will you please come back here sometime? Will you do that?
I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
My friends, you have been listening to Brother Kyle Martin. Kyle Martin is part of Revive Texas. He's the visionary behind Revive Texas and Time to Revive Ministries. Be sure and look him up and be sure and be in prayer for him and his teams that are taking on hell with a water pistol. They're going out there into the highways and the byways, and they're making it rain where there's a drought. And I would encourage you guys to continue to be in prayer for them. Listen, while I've still got you on the line, I want to encourage you to go to the worldwide waste of time, www.troybrewer.com. And whenever you go to troybrewer.com, you can find this podcast and many others. And at the same time, while you're there, you also find out all kinds of information of what my next conference is, my next television show that's coming up. I have some more episodes of Dreams and Mysteries that's about to come up. I'm fixing to be on God TV on 2 Wednesdays in a row. And guys, we've got some cool stuff, and you can find out all that information. And get ready to be shocked when you see me, and you'll find out why I do radio and I don't do very much television. But nonetheless, it's okay. You just be prepared. It's going to be all right. Also, too, you also find out information, and one of the things that you're about to find out is we actually liberated our 74th little girl yesterday, 13-year-old little girl who is caught up in prostitution, forced to be a prostitute in the nation of Nepal, number 74. Guys, we want to have 125 liberated by the end of this year. Will you please consider praying for me? Will you consider helping me with that? You can stand with me and you can help be the answer at troybrewer.com. I'll call you guys ahead and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye. Well, my friends, we've concluded another broadcast day here at Experiencing Real Life, and you've been listening to a recent conference that we had here. Now, I want to invite you to our next conference. It's called the Invasion Conference, and it's going to be happening here at Open Door Church on June the 12th and June the 13th. Now, you can buy your tickets right now by simply going to troybrewer.com, or you can plan on joining us online as a special pay-per-view event. Hey, I want to encourage you, man. Invite your congregation, man. Get with your small group. Maybe you could show this to your whole church. Hey, get the Word of God into people's life, and let's both take on hell with a water pistol together. It's all about the power of battling a supernatural fight. It's about spiritual warfare, and it's called the Invasion Conference. And again, you can get your tickets at troybrewer.com or your pay-per-view event at troybrewer.com, or you can call the offices here at area code 817-295-7671.